wobble, baby, wobble.
Yeah.
And we are live on a Throwdown Thursday. I'm Jeremy the Impet. You're welcome in to another great edition of Sports Club. We have got just tons and tons, as I always like to say, tons and tons of great things to talk about. Things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk some WrestleMania. Yeah, that happened. Some of you have asked what I thought. Well, we're going to find out. Also, we're going to talk some Conor McGregor, some Johnny Manziel, some Swarm, some Atlanta United. There are a lot of NFL news and notes going on. Some Falcons news. Our guest, Jerry Tug Cowart. You guys may know him from Atlanta Sports X. He does a great show called Cheap Seats with one Hudson Mason. I believe you guys might remember that guy. Just tons and tons of great stuff to do. In fact, there's a pretty cool tie-in to Tug. It will be a first for this show when he calls in, and we'll get to that as it comes up. But let's see, where do we want to start? Let's go ahead and start with the Swarm. The Swarm had a huge victory. I believe they scored the last goal with less than a minute to go, about 53 seconds or so. This puts them in the driver's seat. In fact, let's pull up the standings if we can find them. Nothing. Can't. Oh, team standings. Look at that. Team standings as of right now in the East Division. There is a three-way tie for first at 8 wins and 7 losses with Rochester, Buffalo, and our Georgia Swarm. In the Western Division, Calgary, Colorado, and Saskatchewan have all clinched. It's quite all right. They have a bunch of wins. Not Calgary, though. We're better than Calgary. Either way, our Swarm with just a handful of games to go. In fact, we have the game this Saturday in Saskatchewan. There's a special jersey to commemorate. Special jerseys our Swarm players will be wearing to commemorate the Humboldt tragedy and all the fun and all the things associated with that. But that game is 9:30 on Saturday night in Saskatchewan. And then the last game we will play, I believe. Nope, we have two games left. We will face, on the 28th, we have Vancouver at 7:05 here, and then we go to New England for what I believe is the season finale, and then playoffs. Because we know playoffs are going to happen. So, lots of fun stuff going on. Congratulations to the Swarm. Doing some fantastic things. Really making the Infinite Energy Center proud. They, you know, if they do make the playoffs, they will be the second team. From the building in the playoffs. And we'll get, you know, we talked a little more about the Atlanta Gladiators last night. Congratulations to them on that. We're going to have some fun things coming up for Board Check next week. Definitely want to stay tuned. You have no idea what we have planned. Sometimes we don't. In this case, I actually do. It's going to be a lot of fun. So definitely going to enjoy that. Let's talk a little Atlanta United real quick. The Atlanta United had the big win over LAFC, not the Galaxy. LAFC is the startup team. A lot of people thought that they were this year's Atlanta United. Turns out that's not quite the case. as the last couple games, they've kind of stumbled a little bit, and Atlanta United was able to pick up the big 5-0 victory, including four goals in the second half. The big worry for Atlanta United currently is that Joseph Martinez, arguably one of our best players, had an arm injury where he left with a cyborg contraption, I believe on his left arm and elbow area yesterday. And this morning, we still don't know exactly what it is. All we do know is that he will be able to play with a small cast. That's a good thing. And it seems to be not as serious as previously thought. So we will definitely keep an eye on that and how that goes. Atlanta United currently, as we pull up their standings. Wow, the WNBA draft is tonight, apparently, so good luck to Atlanta on their picks there. As we try to pull these up, I did not know that tonight was the WNBA draft, so hey, we could pick up some good people and go on from there. Here we go, our standings. We are currently in second place with 12 overall points. New York City FC, who we play this weekend. Yep, we do. On Sunday at 6 p.m., of course. That game is in town, I believe. They have a four-point lead on us, so we're in second in the Eastern Conference, trailed by the New England Revolution and Columbus Crew Soccer Club, which both have 12. As far as your Western Conference, Sporting Kansas City has 13, Vancouver Whitecaps with 10, and the Galaxy and Real Salt Lake with 7, with LAFC just a point behind with 6. And things happen. As far as other soccer news, the ex-Real Salt Lake playmaker Morales has retired. He scored, he is just one of 19 players in MLS history to score 50 goals and 50 assists, and he was the league's best 11. He was named to the league's best 11 in 2010. Wish him all the best in his future endeavors and all the like. Now, for everybody who is interested, the NHL is having 5 different games tonight. I am going to try to go over some of these. 2 will be at 7 p.m. These are all Eastern Standard Time times. 2 at 7, including Maple Leafs Bruins, which is currently on NBCSN. I believe on CNBC, you can see Tampa Bay and the Devils. At 7:30 on USA Network, you can catch the Blue Jackets and Capitals. At 9:30, you can catch Colorado and Nashville, and that is on NBCSN. And San Jose and Anaheim will be at 10:30 on USA Network as well. Those games, if they're anything like last night's 3, it's going to be pretty phenomenal. Let's see, what else can we get into? Johnny Manziel made his debut, as we see Rene Rancourt. That guy's going to retire soon after 42 years, so how great is he's getting to do the playoffs. What a great rendition of the national anthem he always does. But Johnny Manziel made his debut in the 2-week spring football league that he is a part of, and for the most part, did okay. Didn't have any big stats, big plays, anything like that. But the most important thing is for him to get back into shape. And he's doing a pretty good job of that. But if I'm Johnny Manziel, the top thing that I want to do is just get back on the field. So you know, at this point, it's, you know, it just seems like he's trying to cash in. He's trying to take advantage of a situation. It seems like Johnny is not where he should be, and that's really a shame. It really is. But definitely wish him the best. Hope everything plays out well for him. It'd be nice if it'd be nice if he could get back playing again. I still stand by the statement that the NFL needs someone like him. You need kind of that polarizing presence where you know, don't have as many of them. There may be one or two in this draft, but we need those kinds of we have to see this guy type people. And, you know, got to get him back in there. Definitely got to get him back in there. But last I heard is after this thing is over that he may go play in Canada. I think a year in Canada would do him a lot of good to show that he can play under a different format, really make things work. You know, just for the most part, get back to playing football. Johnny, you want to know what it's all about? It's about playing football. So, got to get going into that. Conor McGregor. Good old Conor McGregor. We know Conor McGregor. Big-time UFC fighter from Ireland. Great guy. Really marketable. Faced Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match that he had a chance to win. Didn't. That's fine. Can't win if you're not in it, and he was definitely in it. So, definitely, I still say that Gonzalez Perez from Atlanta United should team up with Conor McGregor to be in a Guy Ritchie movie. But that's neither here nor there. Conor has not, I guess, been approached by that project yet. But now Conor McGregor, in what looks like an attempt to hype a fight coming up, him and his team decided to attack a bus that had a lot of UFC fighters on it. He actually injured a couple, mainly when glass shattered and went to war and cut their face, I believe. They had to pull out. A handful of fighters had to pull out of the fight. This is this is like the Friday before. This was at weigh-ins or something. He actually turned himself in on that. It turned all UFC media people into court reporters. It's been kind of an interesting, ordeal for Conor McGregor. But you know, we'll see how things shape out for him. I do think that at some point, this just got out of hand. And Conor McGregor is probably the one who put it out of hand because, I mean, not the personal guys, but he's Conor McGregor. I do think Dana White had something to do with this. I just feel like it got taken way too far. It ended up injuring people. Members of his own team got pulled out of the event. It almost destroyed the entire card. But Dana White seemed to recover pretty well because he was at WrestleMania the next day to support Ronda Rousey. So for all people that think that WWE and UFC don't get along, yeah, try again. But that's enough Conor McGregor for now. I want to move on to bigger and better topics. And what better way to do that than by introducing our guest who is currently on the phone right now. He is from Atlanta Sports X. He has served time in the Navy, which thank you for your service. And he is,
you're welcome.
He is Jerry Tug Cowart, and he joins us right now on the Impact Media Sports Line. How are you?
Man, I am super well. I appreciate you having me on, and I must apologize for being late. It's one of those things when you have a 13-year-old kid and the math teacher calls, you're enthralled in conversation, and I even recognize, you know, the phone beeps, and you're there, and it never even occurred to me that I needed to be talking to you while I was talking about 7th grade math.
Hey, there is nothing wrong with that. There are always – I even tell the co-host here, and they know that life is more important than this show, and that is a perfect good reason to not be calling into this show. It's to go
apologies.
Say what now? He did what?
Yeah. But, it was one of those conversations. It was heated in the beginning, and then we worked it out, and everybody's on good everybody's in a good spot, which is the joys of parenting a new teenager.
I will have to take your word for that. I am not to that stage yet, so I will take your word for that, and I will pray for you this Sunday at church.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well, what's going on, man? What are you talking about tonight?
We went over some things real early, or I went over some things real early. I make it seem like there's more people, but we talked some United, some Swarm, some Connor, some Johnny Manziel.
Okay.
But this is actually a first. I mentioned this at the very beginning of the show. This is having you on right now is the first time that I have hosted a guest who hosted a former guest of my show, because earlier today, you and Hudson Mason, for those who don't know, you guys do the show Cheap Seats, and you welcomed in, more than likely Chris Treff was there too, but you welcomed in the captain of the Gladiators, Derek Nesbitt. How'd
That's
that
right.
go?
Oh man, it was so fantastic. And to be completely honest, I have to tell you, and I told him too, I don't know that much about hockey. I grew up in Northwest Georgia in Dalton, about 90 miles up the road from Atlanta, and we just didn't spend a lot of time watching hockey. So I went into it almost asking him questions that I think a lot of people in Atlanta might have, because they didn't grow up on hockey either. We've had two NHL hockey teams leave over the years. So I just talked to him about just – the rules of hockey. It's almost, it's kind of like a little bit like soccer and the explosion of popularity, the Atlanta United. There's so many people that probably go to those games and wear the United t-shirts and wave the United flag and are just hook, line, and sinker in like a college football fan, but truly don't know the rules to the game. And so I was asking him some basic stuff, like, tell me, what am I missing? What is it that I'm looking for to begin with? And he obliged, and he understood, and he really kind of held our hand, if you will, through some of the hockey talk. And then we just talked about, things that he's into that most people wouldn't realize. Like he loves fishing. He loves it, loves the outdoors. And I was like, well, what do you, what are you not good at that people might be surprised? And he said, you know what? My wife always gives me a hard time because I'm pretty good at everything. And I like that confidence. It didn't come off as cocky or arrogant at all. He was just like, I'm pretty good at everything. And he was like, I'll tell you one thing that I don't like that most people think I probably would, and that's just skiing, going skiing. And I was like, oh, my gosh, it seems like that would be hand in hand, ice skating and hockey, skiing, outside, cold, and sure enough, no, he didn't like all that stuff. But it was a fascinating conversation, and we had him on. We'd only planned to have him on for like 20 minutes, and I think it ended up being like 40.
Wow. Yep. It's easy to do, especially with a lot of these hockey guys, but especially Derek. We had him on our hockey show Board Check almost a calendar year. I went back and looked, the 27th of this month would be an exact calendar year that we had him on, and I was just like, nice. I can't. I've talked to him so many other times, but only that one time officially, and it started off the same way. It was supposed to be about 15 minutes because our hockey show is a lot shorter than this one. It was just supposed to be a fun segment in the middle. And then by the time I looked at the time, because we pre-recorded it, I was like, Derek, we've been talking for about an hour, and I can't use all of that. I have to chop this up now.
Yeah. Yeah, but the beauty is, nowadays, you can take what you chopped up and weren't able to use on the air and then just post that in a podcast form or shoot it out social media, and then everybody, you know, can hear it that way. That, you know, the people that are truly interested in those kind of guests that they don't know, but they're fascinated by it, or they play a sport that they, you know, they don't typically watch or aren't into, but they're into the, what the guest has to say. You can go back and hear that. And I think that's the beauty of kind of where media is now, you know, with radio, terrestrial radio anyway, you know, you really have to speak to the masses, and you have to talk to people in almost like the lowest common denominator of whatever the conversation is. So everybody can jump in at any time and understand and kind of know what's going on. Where, you know, podcasts, they're specialized to begin with, and people come to them looking for a particular kind of material. So the beauty of what's going on, I think, with media, terrestrial radio specifically, is that you can do that. You can take some of the conversation, especially if you pre-record it, and put out there, you know, the stuff that would be interesting to everyone, but then take that really specific stuff and then put that in podcast form and share it, you know, somewhere, social media, on your website, wherever, and then people who are really interested can go hear it too. So it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely is. And the same advice that I give people, because I'm right there with you as far as I grew up in the general area. In fact, I'm still within a rock's throw or so, as we would say in these parts of where I grew up. But for some reason, the hockey bug hit me about fifth grade. We still had the Knights here at that point. So hockey's always been my sport. I still confess to people that it's probably the purest when you see it. But I use the same approach that I tell people about learning hockey that I took with the Georgia Swarm this year, as we've been able to do some stuff with them.
Yeah,
the best thing to do really is fun. just go see it live, get caught up in the action, the fans around you, and you'll just see how beautiful the sport really is.
Yeah, we've really enjoyed that with Atlanta Sports X. They're the flagship for the Georgia Swarm. And it's been a lot of fun going to those games and learning them. And there's some similarities with hockey and lacrosse. And you know, just the way the game is played, and obviously not on ice versus on ice, but just some of the general rules that seem to cross over that I've been told and learned a little bit about. But there's just a lot going on in Atlanta, if you think about it. I mean, we got every sport that you can possibly imagine in pro form, you know, and college form, for that matter. I guess every big city does, but just being like you from the area, born and raised in Northwest Georgia, I wasn't exposed to all of them. I would have never in a million years thought that there was a big lacrosse community, but it's one of the biggest and, you know, the fastest growing sports, especially in North Fulton. We live in Alpharetta, and it's everywhere. So those guys are doing really, really well, and I think the crowds are coming out to see the Georgia Swarm, and we're certainly glad to have them on Atlanta Sports X. And you know, with hockey, we, you know, people forget sometimes that hockey is available to go see, and it's affordable because it's minor league hockey, and the team just got bought, and they're investing money back into the team to market it really well, and I think that's going to help them immensely, especially with Atlanta being a transient city, people coming from out of town, so many people from up north in the Midwest where hockey is big, it can only be good for, you know, the fans of the game, and then ultimately the team.
Oh, absolutely. And as we're talking to Tug Cowart from Atlanta Sports X and the show Cheap Seats, you guys do a great job with Cheap Seats. I was listening to some segments in the last basically in the lead up to this, because a lot of times I don't get a chance. Since you're not in podcast form, usually I have to wait until I get home during the day to try to get you guys up and going so I can listen to some of the stuff you get into. To get completely off topic for this show, well, not really. We've been this direction before, but there's something you guys brought up in a couple days ago show that I have to bring up because I think I'm dead set agreeing with you guys.
Okay.
The courtesy flush should be mandatory. I'm totally on board here because we've all been in those situations, or you've been on an airplane or you've been on a charter bus. And I mean, I knew in high school with some of the marching band trips we took, there was a handful of us that sat back next to the bathroom on purpose. And, you weren't allowed to be in there very often, or we were debating on kicking the door in.
Yeah, right. You know, it's so funny is the two producers of the show who are incredible guys, Brandon Joseph and Brian Murphy, both of them were like, nope, no courtesy flush. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Have you lost your mind? I learned it early on, but in the Navy, man, you had to. You had to. And look, there's people listening right now that are going, oh, my gosh, I can't believe these guys are discussing that. But that's the beauty of what our show is on Atlanta Sports X, and you can listen to the show via the mobile app anywhere, and you can get that on Apple and Android. Just go search for Atlanta Sports X, or you can listen to it. It's mainly on the north side because it's a smaller signal, but it's 106.3 FM and 1230 AM. A lot of ways to listen online as well. But the beauty of what David Dickey and Dickey Broadcasting has built out with Atlanta Sports X, he was like, I don't want it to be 680 The Fan, which is our sister station, home to Braves. I don't want it to be that, like, junior, you know, or The Fan 2, which is what it was called up until this point. Because they were just running syndicated ESPN and Fox Sports Network material on there, which is all great. You know, love that stuff, too. But he was like, I want this station to be different. I want it to be about dudes just being dudes and talking about sports. I want you to talk about sports the way you would talk about it with your buddies if you're sitting back and having a cold one, you know, sitting at a bar on a bar stool or, you know, at home on the front porch. I want it to be that kind of conversation. And if something goofy comes up, talk about it. You know, talk about the things that we might not talk about on 680 The Fan. Of course, you always want to come back to sports because that's ultimately what we are. But there's all kinds of stuff that dudes talk about in, you know, in the realm of sports and sometimes even out of the realm of sports. It's just stuff that dudes are interested in. And that's kind of what David had told us when we went in. He's, this is what I'm looking for. And so he pulled me over. I was at Kix 101.5, and I still am in some capacity. I've been there for 12 years. And had worked country radio my whole life, ever since getting out of the Navy. And so he was like, look, I want you to call up the country guys that you know and have them on the show. And I was like, great. I was like, I can do that for sure. I'm all about that. You know, and so we've had Dustin Lynch and Scotty McCreary. My buddy is Jason Aldean's record rep. So when Jason was at he was at SunTrust Park announcing the concert, I was going to get the first interview because my buddy knew I had to be back on the air at noon. And so I was going to record it and run back over. And Chipper was there, and he was on a time schedule, and the Braves wanted to film a promo for the concert. And so my interview time got pushed back, so I had to bail out of a Jason Aldean interview, which is never good. And I've been interviewing Jason over the years, you know, for a long time, since Hicktown was out. And he was, you know, the baby act on All the Bills, and now he's the, you know, the headliner. But, you know, we have artists like that. We've had a bunch of the guys from Zac Brown Band. You know, they're all local guys, and they're great dudes, like Coy Bowles and John Hopkins and Clay Cook. It was awesome. Clay Cook, he did the national anthem before the game, opening day at SunTrust Park. And so he got done with a sound check, walked across the street to our studios, hopped in with us on the cheap seats, talked with us a little while, and then went back over. And, you know, an hour later, he's performing the national anthem. So it's just those relationships that you're able to bring, you know, into a different format. And David's been so good about that. He's like, man, whatever works, whatever dudes are talking about, I want you to talk about it. You know, just whatever interests you. And Hudson, too, which is a whole different level. You know, I didn't play football, and I didn't play anything. It was funny. We did a bit on the show right after Kobe Bryant won his Oscar for Love Letter to Basketball. I came in the next day and I was like, dude, I want you to write Love Letter to Football, and I'm going to write Love Letter to the Bench because that's where I always sat. And and that was, you know, and we had so much fun with it. You know, Hudson's such a funny guy, and I never knew that because I've only known him since Christmas. And he's really reserved, and he's just a really, really funny guy. Once you peel back that onion, and his personality shines through. He's got a huge opinion, and he's fun to be around. And so doing the show with him has been super cool.
Yeah, I actually ran across him a couple years ago. He did some – I think he was doing some graduate study stuff at Georgia State where he was
– That's right.
He was doing some coaching and such like that. And because one day actually, my little brother's best friend was a manager up at UGA for the football team for 4 years. So I got to be in and around a lot of the players, and a lot of times he would tell me about people, and I had just been talking about comparing somebody to Hudson when I went out to like a spring practice, and I get looking at this guy, and I get looking at him, and I was like, I swear that's Hudson Mason. So I snap a picture of him, send it to the guy, and the guy goes, yeah, that's absolutely true blue who that is. And I was like, all right. So I walked up to him. We talked for a while, and yeah, it's the same way. He was so relaxed and he didn't have to be the starting quarterback of the Georgia Bulldogs. He was funny. He was great to talk to, and at the time he had some other opportunities and interests, so we weren't able to get him on the show yet. But we did make him, for everybody who is following along with our show, we did make him tonight's social media shout out. So if he is listening, Hudson, you have an invitation here as well, and would love to have you. But yeah, it's one of those things that sometimes when you take these athletes, these high profile athletes, real talented guys out of that pressure cooker, so to say, they're just super normal, laid back people like us, and people don't realize that.
No, you're exactly right. They're just regular guys, and that's the funny thing about Hudson is that zero ego. And look, you know, he went to the NFL for just a little bit, picked up as a free agent by the Redskins, and then did a you know, a couple mini camps with him, and then spent a little time with the Dolphins, and then CFL for a couple years, and it was because of his wife. You know, he's a very, very loyal husband, and he was like, you know, our marriage is suffering because I'm in Regina in Saskatchewan playing for the Rough Riders, and I'm not ever seeing my wife. And he had a contract offer on the table this year, turned it down to come home and focus on, you know, just life and making sure that he was there for his wife. And he's, you know, he's a very strong Christian fella. I do a Bible study on Monday nights. He does a Bible study on Tuesday nights. So that's the kind of guy he is, you know, and there's just, like I said, zero ego, even though, you know, for 4 years he was at Georgia, and, you know, that final year he was able to start, and, you know, you're starting in front of, you know, 92.5 or whatever the stadium holds there at Sanford, and it's got to be exhilarating. I can't imagine it. You know, I cannot imagine what that is like.
Well, as a big-time, lifelong wrestling fan, I can only imagine that's like walking out on stage for WrestleMania or something, because you're just staring at hundreds of thousands of people that are waiting to hear you entertain them, and you're just like, all right, I guess we're doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's fun to be able to spend time and get his stories about playing for Coach Rick and Coach Pruitt and Mike, and he just has a laundry list of people that he's connected to that's also good for our show, is because he'll call somebody up and be like, hey man, we want you to come on the show. Like, I'll give you an example. Jeb Blazevich, you know, who he played with at Georgia did his pro day, and you know, we were just amazed that he took time with us. And look, they're buds, so I guess I shouldn't be amazed. I was amazed that Jeb took the time to come on the show the day before the combine, or the pro day that they did at Georgia, you know. And so that was super cool. And then we had him on after to talk about it, you know, how it went and what he thought and how everything happened. And, you know, so it was just cool. Like, I couldn't imagine knowing somebody, first of all, that was part of the pro day, and then to have them take time out of their workout preparing for that and to come on the show. But those are the kind of relationships that Hudson has built over the years. So that was really, really cool. You know, that's just one example of a dozen that he's just able to pick up the phone and call people and have them on.
Well, see, that's what makes you guys such a great duo, is that he can reach out to the sports world of people he's crossed paths with, and you can go to the entertainment side between music, movies, everything else, where you're like, you know, I ran across this guy in the hallway over at 101.5, you know what, let's go and have them on too, and it's that great mix.
No, it's been a whole lot of fun, and you know, it's funny, man, just, you do run into a lot of people, and like, I'm nobody, I don't have any sort of, you know, crazy idea that I'm super somebody because I work on a radio station, the farthest thing from the truth, you know, and but I have been fortunate over the years to you know, just meet a lot of cool people and make friends, and then be able to say, hey man, this is something I'm doing, would you be willing to spend some time with us? And most of the time, you know, they're like, sure, you know. And so that's been a cool blessing to have you know, for the show, like you said. So it's been good. It's been really good, and we're you know, we're only a month in, but we'll see where it goes. And I think Hudson's gonna call some more games for ESPN this this fall. You know, he calls a lot of the Sun Belt and some of the MAC conference stuff. Like, usually they're on ESPN3, but you know, you say that, but ESPN, you know, the app is where a lot of people are watching stuff nowadays, so it's not even unusual.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And as we finish up with Jerry Tug Coward here from not only Navy vet, but he is from Atlanta Sports X. I know a lot of your coworkers too. Brandon Leak, I've been friends with for a long time. But,
oh my gosh, the greatest guy on earth. He and Joe Hamilton, dude, that's a great show too. If you get a chance to check out Home Team in Hamilton, they're on 9 to noon before us. And let me tell you, those are two of the coolest guys you will ever meet in your whole life. And Joe Ham has got the best laugh of anybody. His laugh is infectious.
Oh yeah, I would put it right up there with Seton O'Connor from the Dan Patrick Show. That when he starts, the rest of the room's going to follow.
You can't help it.
But also, you know, we had Mark Zidone on just a couple of weeks ago as well, and
nice.
There's a lot of you
ex-military
Atlanta sports guys.
Yeah, man, absolutely, and he's he is intense. But once you peel back that onion, he's another guy that is just. He's a nice dude. He's got such a cool demeanor about him. Super confident guy. He's just a lot of fun to be around. So yeah, man, you do know a lot of these guys. Zeno is another one that's just super.
Oh yeah. Like I said, as we finish up, because I'm not going to keep you too much longer. I know you're out of the old ballpark and not the one
yeah,
people
we're here
think. But I'm not going to. I was about to say I wasn't going to say where you were in case people wanted to stalk you. But
I don't think you had to worry about that.
But I think we're the polar opposite when we're in public, because when I attend a game I tend to stick out, but if you ever check any of the photos on social media of how I attend games, there's a pretty good reason I stick out. But I think you're pretty good at blending in. But I can't let you get out of here without talking a little bit of Braves and a little bit of Falcons.
Sure.
Because I know you being a big hometown fan, as you should be. I'm the one weirdo that my teams are all over the place for various reasons, but that's the reason why I'm writing a book, is so people understand where I'm coming from. But
sure.
Let's start with the Braves, because as unexpected as my Mets have been this year, and that'll probably fade because, you know, the month of May will happen and we'll come back to reality. But how surprising has this Braves season been so far? I mean, I was able to make it out to a game, and I watched them beat the total crap out of the Nationals, who were supposed to be a perennial World Series favorite.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. It's been wonderful, you know. And I guess I shouldn't be that surprised. I mean, we've talked about how all these young guys are going to make this team a powerhouse of the future. So we're kind of getting a snapshot of it. We're getting a glimpse of that now. And so I am surprised for sure, but I don't know that I should be. You know, those guys are some of the best prospects in baseball. And now I don't even know if you can call them prospects. Dansby's definitely not a prospect anymore.
Right.
Ozzie Albies either. So, you know, having those guys up and having them play at the level they are is incredible. But then the guys that you don't expect that are coming out of nowhere, like Ryan Flaherty at third base, you know, playing just lights out baseball. And guys like Preston Tucker, you know, and then there's the debate of, hey, when do we bring Acuna up? You know, this guy's just waiting in the wings. He's, you know, the number one prospect in the Braves organization. When do you bring him up? And I'm like, at this point, I'm like, well, why don't we just let him stew for a little bit? I mean, let these guys do whatever it is they're doing. It seems to be working. And look, as the magic wears off, then you start worrying about that and talking about when you bring Acuna up. But until then, I don't know that you mess with the chemistry, because I've said it on the air a few times in the cheap seats on Atlanta Sports X, you know, Acuna, I feel like if they would have brought him up and kept him up, you know, because he had that tear in spring training, that he would probably still be tearing the cover off the ball at the major league level. I just feel like when you mess with chemistry in baseball and mess with people's confidence and their flow, and baseball is such a mental game, that it really does get between their ears a little bit. And he knows that, you know, and the Braves can't say it, and nobody's going to be able to say it, that the Braves wanted to keep him down so they could – you know, having that under control for that extra year. And I think that stuff is irritating and gets to you, and then it changes what you're, you know, what you're able to do. And I know he struggled a little bit the first three games down at Gwinnett with the Stripers, but he bounced back that fourth game and had, you know, a multi-hit game. And so that's really, really good. So I guess my point in all of it is let's just see how it plays out. But I'm really, really delighted in the way that those guys are playing. Bullpen's good, hitting's good, pitching, you know, we got to keep an eye on that. But otherwise, I think they're doing really, really well, and I'm really happy about it.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely agree. And, you know, if I were to tell you that, hey, your guy leading the home run for the teams is your second baseman, Ozzie Albies,
yeah.
And yet you're battling for first place of the East this early in the season, you'd probably go, yeah, you know what, turn the PlayStation 4 off and actually come watch
exactly.
a game.
Yeah, that's right. You've been playing the show too long, man. I know you probably built him up and are able to adjust what he does in a video game, but man, it's real life, and it's so good to see. Nobody hustles more than that kid, and that's the thing that I love about him the most.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I promise I will try to go out on a good note with the Falcons, because my question to Falcons fans sometimes gets people riled up, so we'll see. But you know, overall, where do you see the Falcons right now, and where do you think this season could go?
Well, I mean, you know, we got a long time until we get there, and you know, we still got to go through the draft and all that, so I don't know that I can say where I think they are. I know they're going to be drafting on the defensive side of the ball. As far as – here's something that I bring up occasionally, and we had a guy that was a scout and an agent who was a buddy of Hudson's on the Chief Seats in Atlanta, on Atlanta Sports X, and we talked about Matt Ryan and the hometown discount, and I'm like, I think – Matt Ryan should give a hometown discount. This is where he wants to be. He's not eager to leave. He, you know, his wife just had babies. He wants to be here. So if you want to be here and you're still going to make, you know, whatever the dollar figure is, you know, whatever that number is, let's say it's $130 million for whatever the length of the contract, why don't you take a little less and put everybody that you think you want around you, go out and get them. Use that extra money to get whatever it is you want to get, to assure yourself, or as much as you can, assure yourself that you're going back to the playoffs. You're going back to the Super Bowl, hopefully. Give yourself the best shot to do that, and everybody just beats me to death. Why would he do that? He deserves this huge contract. And I'm not saying he doesn't. Of course he does. But what's the difference, really, in $120 million, $130 million, and $110 million? Really?
Right.
At the end of the day, what is the difference? I don't know that there is a difference. You know, when you're living at that point, I don't know that it matters. And so I just think, why wouldn't you put things around you? Because ultimately, are people going to remember that you were the highest paid quarterback? Maybe. But if you get a World Series, if you get a Super Bowl ring, they will always remember that. So I always say that. Well, and I always catch flack. And the gentleman that we had on, the agent and scout, he's like, no way, nobody's doing that. Only Tom Brady does that. And I said, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's when you go, Tom, hold up your hands. Yep, that's what
exactly,
that does.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, you'd fit in great around here. I'm the one that gets all the hate mail for saying things like that. But I totally agree. As much as I never stand in the way and even encourage players, get all the money you can, get it up front, get it as much as you can, because tomorrow's not promised. I get that part. I totally agree that at the same time, I kind of side with the teams and these GMs that, you know, hey, we're only allowed so much – you know, so many slices of pizza to go around to 70 guys. So if one of them takes half the pizza, a lot of people are going to starve tonight.
And that's exactly right. And the team is not going to be better for it. You know, if you could take some of that money, some of that pizza, and you know, like feed other guys, maybe guys that you didn't even know you had a chance to get it. You know, feed them a pizza too, and then your team is better for it, and you have more opportunity to win the Super Bowl. I don't know, man. I always get looked at like I have four heads when I bring this up, but the time when the guy said only Tom Brady does that, I was like, please prove my point for me.
Absolutely. The question that I will bring up here, and you are free to use this on the Cheap Seats if you'd like, or if you're throwing back a few daddy sodas, that's your favorite establishment. As a Falcons fan, do you believe the duo of Thomas Dimitrov and Dan Quinn in the time that they're here. So if either one of them leave or if both of them leave for whatever reason, whether Arthur says leave or they leave on their own, that duo, do you believe that duo will bring a Super Bowl to Atlanta?
Gosh, man, that's a big old question. I think they have certainly have the ability to. I think they've proven that because if you remember the first year of Shanahan, everybody was ready to send that dude down the road. Nobody mm-hmm. liked him, right? And then all of a sudden, year two, and it's a total different story. And we almost, I mean, we were so close to having that Super Bowl. And look,
yeah.
meltdown, call it what you will, but you are, you know, 2.5 minutes from winning the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, I certainly think the ability's there. I mean, to say I can have a crystal ball and, yes, they're going to win a Super Bowl, definitely can't do that. But I do believe they have the ability to do it. Yes.
Okay. Yep, me and Coach Hill, who is one of the co-hosts here a lot, we both agreed that it's very possible. And usually we're the contrarians for anything Atlanta just because a lot of people – you know, it's real easy to when your favorite team's doing really well, it's real easy to go, oh, we're going to win everything. We can do this. This nothing yeah. bad will happen. We're usually those contrarians that go, ah, but there's this other thing you really need to look at because if you don't, you're going to
yeah.
stumble and you're going to miss again. But I want to go out on a high
note.
Exactly. I want to go out on a high note. So not only do I want to make Falcons fans feel better, but hopefully it makes you feel better as well. There was at first it was a rumor. Now it's been confirmed. One of the people that the Falcons are potentially targeting to fill a very important role on this team that I didn't realize was available, apparently with the draft, they are looking at Nick Chubb as potentially
yeah.
RB3 on this. And I went, that's almost unfair at that point. But if he does, at that point, you just literally go, okay, Matt, forget what we said about money. All we need you to do is to just turn around and hand it to whoever's behind you. Because at that point you go, Julio, you're blocking. Sanu, you're blocking. Anybody on the field is blocking. We're just going to hand it off 75 times a game, or we're going to win 100-0.
Yeah, there you go, man. You know what? It would do my heart a world of good. Growing up a Georgia Bulldogs fan my whole life, an Atlanta Braves fan my whole life, Atlanta Falcons fan my whole life, Atlanta Hawks fan my whole life. So it would do my heart no nothing can do my heart that much good as to see a Georgia Bulldog in an Atlanta Falcons uniform as well. You know, it's just I love it. I would love it. I can't tell you how much I would love it, man. It would be so awesome just to be able to cheer for him like I already have, you know, for his time at UGA. To be able to cheer for him on Sundays too would be spectacular, and I think he's going to make one heck of a running back.
Oh yeah, of course. They talk about the can't miss, and I think him and Sony Michel
yeah.
are can't miss pros. So
yeah, no doubt about it. Both of them.
Even though the season is almost over, hopefully the Gladiators make the second round. But with the playoffs starting next week, if you get a chance, either Thursday, Friday, or Sunday, you should come check out a game. I believe we'll be there Friday night. So if you end
nice.
Up in the building, definitely hit us up and we will come say hello in person. But yeah, I encourage anybody, go see hockey live. There's
yeah.
nothing better than playoff hockey. And it wasn't that long ago that this team made it all the way to the finals before losing out. So it definitely could happen
yeah.
again. And Tug, it's been fantastic having you on. Sorry to keep you a little later than.
No,
than,
man, totally fine. Sorry. Hey, look, I called in late. That's the least I can do.
Hey, but we definitely appreciate it. You are welcome back at any time. Keep up the good work with Cheap Seats and all the other great work you guys do. And maybe one day I'll come check out a Braves game up there in the Cheap Seats with you guys.
Man, I hope so. It'll be great, man. Thank you so much for having me. God bless you, and have a great night, bud.
Hey, you have a good one as well.
All right, bud. See ya.
And that was Jerry Tug Cowart from Atlanta Sports X. He does a show with Hudson Mason called The Cheap Seats. It like he says, it is from noon to 3. It is followed by A to Z with Mark Zeno, and right before that is the Home Team and Hamilton show. They got a killer lineup over there. The Chuck Oliver show is also on there. It's wall to wall just great stuff. But super great guy, definitely want to get him on. As I always say, we like people that don't make impressions but that make an impact. He is an impact player for sure. We got into some Falcons there. I got into some Braves. I know you guys wanted to listen to a little bit more of that, so I made sure to get into it. There are three playoff games in the NHL going on right now. Looks like Washington and Columbus just got going just a few minutes ago. They are still tied at zero. Toronto and Boston are officially beating the crap out of each other. And looks like the Lightning and Devils are probably still tied as well. They just got underway. This Toronto Boston series, it's physical. It's very physical. Let's go over some other Falcons notes real quick. Then we'll do some NFL. We'll finish up with some WrestleMania overall thoughts. Some other Falcons news. They had a quarterback visit. You are allowed about 30 of these. And one of theirs was Nebraska quarterback Tanner Lee. I don't know much more about Tanner Lee than he played quarterback at Nebraska, and he is not big on turning the football over. So, big, strong kid, big arm. We'll see how that goes if they're able to get him. They did hire Travis Jones as the assistant defensive line coach and Adam Durday as defensive quality control. I believe Travis Jones was up in Seattle with Dan Quinn, so he definitely knows him well. And they signed safety Kamal Ishmael to a one-year deal, which shores up the back end of that. A little bit more about the AAF. I told you guys about the American Alliance of Football, or whatever it stands for at this point. Steve Spurrier is confirmed as the first coach. He's going to coach the team down in Orlando. Convenient, because that's the last place I saw him for the bowl game back in December. Rick Neuheisel is supposedly might be coaching in Southern California. According to Rick, though, at this point, nothing is confirmed, but it is something he's looking at. Marquette King, who was ceremoniously dumped by Oakland, is signed with Denver. He looks forward to kicking in the thin air. That's fine. That, you know, John Elway has no problem with the personality of Marquette King, which is not a bad thing. Just if you're going to be on a John Gruden team, your personality can't be bigger than John's. So that's why I got rid of him. And it's just the way he's an old-school football guy. It's you listen to the coach, yes, sir, no, sir, you move on. We'll see how long Marshawn Lynch lasts. Jeremy Maclin is still a free agent. That baffles me, too. I don't understand, unless there's some sort of injury or something that is keeping people from signing him, but it seems like Jeremy Maclin should be on a roster. But with spring practices coming up pretty soon, we will definitely find out if Baltimore or somebody gives him a shot again. Richie Incognito went in the past month or so from signing a deal to take less money to firing his agent to now saying he's going to retire. And then, as far as I know, he is officially retiring. He's filing his papers and such. He claims a lot of kidney and liver damage. He's just trying to get healthy. And also, LeSean McCoy is offering him a pretty good amount of money to play this year. He says, no, you're a good friend of mine. I'd like you to play. So we'll see. He could play another year. I don't know. You know, we know how Richie can be. And he's pretty decisive when he makes the decision. So this may be it. If so, it's unfortunate, but, you know, getting healthy is more important than playing football. So I wish the best to you, Richie, and you're welcome on this show at any time if you want to come on and talk about it. There are three finalists or so in the Carolina Panthers bidding warfare. I'm going to tell you a little bit about each one of them. You had David Tapper, who is a billionaire hedge funder, does a lot of hedge funds. You got Alan Kestenbaum, who is a CEO of a big steel company, and Ben Navarro, who is in finance in the greater Charleston area. So I heard it is down to those. We will find out more in the coming weeks as to if and when either of these are the ones who actually do it. But, you know, it is what it is. And now we're getting into some – let's see here. pull up some WrestleMania, talk a little bit about some of the matches, some of the stuff I liked, some of the stuff. I thought overall it was super, super solid. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, it was great to see Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler call something. Again, Byron Saxton did a good job as the third amigo. Mojo looked strong. This whole thing with Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy, I don't know. It's further off the deep end. I don't think Wyatt needs to be a part of another group, but it is what it is. Congratulations to Cedric Alexander. He beat Mustafa Ali to be the new Cruiserweight champion. Cedric wrestled a lot around this area. I never got to see him live. He was in Ring of Honor by the time I noticed he was around here. Dude works his butt off. Mustafa Ali is very good as well, from the Chicago area. But this match was incredible. It literally should have been on the card, but I don't know what you would have bumped. Women's Battle Royal, Naomi won that. I don't know. I know this was to get everybody involved so that everybody got their pay-per-view paydays, and congratulations on that. But as far as anything else, it wasn't anything very special. It started off with the Intercontinental title match, the actual show. That was all pre-show. Between Seth Rollins, The Miz, and Finn Balor. Seth Rollins had the victory on that. That's fine. The Miz is still 23 days away from being the longest, being Intercontinental Champion for the longest total days, as he would pass Pedro Morales. At this point, they don't have Dean Ambrose, who they were trying to build up, so they give it to the next best substitute, Seth Rollins. He was the third best guy in this match, so it's kind of hard for me to look at it. Balor doesn't need the championship. He should be running up on top soon, and The Miz always makes people look better. So maybe it's time for The Miz to do another congratulations on his daughter, so maybe on his new daughter with Maryse. So maybe he's going to take a little bit of time off. Maybe he's going to do another movie. But either way, John Cena sitting at ringside was a very nice touch. I'll give him that. Charlotte and Asuka was everything that I thought it would be and more. I thought it was about a 4.5-star match. Even at the end, when Asuka grabs a microphone and through the little bit of English she can say, which is a lot. She's come a real long way. She's very good at enunciating. She said, "Hey, you are the best." Like I said, the whole referee John Cena thing, I don't know. We'll get to that. The Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Rusev, Jinder Mahal match was really good. The fact that Jinder won, once again, the least talented guy in the room won a belt, but, you know, good for Jinder Mahal. He had a good run as world champ. Maybe he'll have one as U.S. champ. The guy works his butt off as well. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. It feels like Bobby Roode is destined for bigger things, and Randy Orton is such a part-timer, they didn't want to give it to him, and Rusev continues to get booked bad and punished, so we'll see how that works. The mixed tag match where Triple H and Stephanie McMahon went against Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey. Ronda is still green, but I thought she handled herself very well. The early tag she had, she seemed to be a little hyped up, but she calmed down. She got into it a little later, and it all came out very, very good. I thought booking, ending, it all come out very well. I look forward to see who her first opponents are going to be. If she's on the Raw brand, I think Mickie James is probably going to be the first one, because that's going to be a good trial to get in. But either way, good stuff. Then there was the match that I didn't know deserved to be on the card because the way it went. The Usos and the New Day took on the Bludgeon Brothers. It was a triple threat tag match that turned into roughly 5-on-2. With the Bludgeon Brothers being the two and getting the victory and the champions. I don't know who can beat these guys or who's going to, but I feel like it's going to be a team from NXT because the Bludgeon Brothers have ran over everybody else. John Cena versus The Undertaker. Before The Undertaker come out, John Cena come down, and then the lights went out, to which one of my favorites, Elias, came out and sang a little song, did some little tunes there. and said, I guess you weren't expecting me. And John Cena said, no, but if you come to the ring, I'll show you exactly what I think. And so they kind of had it out a little bit. Cena had the upper hand. And then as he was walking two-thirds of the way up the ramp, lights go out again. Undertaker shows up. Undertaker proceeds to beat the holy hell out of John Cena in one of the worst squash matches of the year. Voted 7 thumbs down by anybody who watched it. It was okay. It was good to see him do all his moves again, but this was a WrestleMania moment and a lead up to him versus him versus Rusev or something at the big desert pay-per-view coming up. Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. If you are a fan of indie-style matches, this was exceptional, and I am a fan of those. It was great to see Daniel Bryan slowly getting back into shape after being gone for, what, a year or two? It's good to see him back in the ring as well. It gives hope to Paige, as she had to retire, although she's now the GM on SmackDown. You guys know that. But Shane and Daniel Bryan with a big victory, which means Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are technically unemployed. They tried to get a job on Raw. That didn't work out. I look forward to seeing what's going to happen with that. Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax was really good. Those are two of my favorite Raw performers anyway. And if you're not watching the women's division, you're missing out. These two are really good. Nia finally wins the belt, which is absolutely phenomenal. It proves that you can battle through all kinds of things and still win at the end of the day. AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura with the SmackDown Championship. I don't know that they ever faced in New Japan. I feel like they did maybe once or twice. This was the match we all wanted to see. It was about 35 minutes of just nonstop, toe-to-toe, New Japan style, that strong style, as they call it. It was fantastic. AJ with the victory there. The Bar versus Braun Strowman and what turned out to be a 10-year-old boy named Nicholas for the Raw Tag Team Championships. Yep, I can't make that up. 10-year-old held his own, did pretty well standing on the outside. He even got tagged in at one point, to which he smartly tagged back out. But Braun Strowman and Nicholas end up winning the belts, and they had to relinquish them the next night on Raw because it's come to find out Nicholas is in fourth grade. But when he graduates, Strowman said they will be back for the belts. But it was a good moment. A lot of people didn't like it. I liked this moment. It was good. It showed that the WWE is still unpredictable and that Braun Strowman has a softer side, and he's funny. It's like when Big E joined up with Kofi and Xavier Woods. We didn't realize he could be funny, and he is. Braun Strowman's really funny, too. And then the final match, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, where we all went into it knowing that Roman Reigns was going to win until Brock Lesnar did. We find out a handful of hours later that Brock re-upped and signed another one-year deal or so to stick around, and these two are going to have a rematch in the Ultimate Rumble or whatever they're calling it coming up, but it's going to be in a cage match. Overall, I thought WrestleMania fantastic. It's fantastic. There's no reason to consider it bad or anything like that. I thought it was very, very good. They continue to do solid things, and WWE, you're getting my money again because we signed back up for the network here at the house, and we'll be watching all the other ones. So, but that's going to do it for us this week. I want to give a shout-out to our guest, Jerry Tug Cowart from Atlanta Sports X and Kicks 101.5. Does some fantastic work. He also does the show on Atlanta Sports X with Hudson Mason called Cheap Seats. He come on and talk some great things. It was great. It was bro talk, so to say, as we like to call it. But I got into some Braves, some Falcons. We got into all kinds of stuff. We talked Swarm. We talked United, McGregor, Mantell, WrestleMania. As always, especially during the offseason, you guys know we will always talk about everything and anything. But as I said, that's going to do it for us. Another great edition of Sports Club. Shout out to @ H. Mason 14, otherwise known as Hudson Mason. He was our social media shout-out. Shout-out to Derek Nesbitt @ Derek_Nesbitt with two T's @ Chris_Treft. Appreciate you guys doing the media tour and talking to everybody at 680 at Atlanta Sports X today. And I look forward to seeing you guys for the playoff series. Who knows who we're going to have on Wednesday for board check, but I guarantee we're going to have some fun stuff and pretty good guests. So for everybody here at Impact Media, we'll see you guys next week. Go Falcons. Go Braves. Go Hawks. Go Swarm. Go United. Go Gladiators. And if I missed anybody else, go watch hockey.
And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, then the pound it real fast to let the percolate.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
A lot better when you win.